Consider for a moment a box of chocolates. We have a visual aid in front of you. And this is a test, because after the service, you'll be offered a piece of chocolate, and you need to be prepared. You might feel as though you don't need any preparation for a piece of chocolate. But how do you really feel when someone offers you a chocolate? You may have noticed in the video, the woman reflecting a lot of the things about our culture that we would like to pretend weren't there, does not respond at all to the offer of the chocolate. I would contend that it is possible to be too thoughtful and too careful in response to the offer of a piece of chocolate. Now let that sink in for a minute, because I think that's pretty profound. You can be too thoughtful about receiving the gift of a piece of chocolate. When I was young, we seldom had candy around the house. There was no nearby store where a child could purchase candy. On our weekly trips to the grocery store, candy was not on the agenda, and going to the grocery store with my father meant following the agenda. My father did not take my mother to the grocery store because she had a tendency to stray from the agenda. So if I wanted to go to the grocery store on Friday night, I learned to stay within the parameters. I could look, but I could not have. So I had limited experience with candy in my early years. I cannot remember my first experience of eating a chocolate from a box like the one in front of you. I can remember my mother did get such boxes on rare and very special occasions. There were wonderful chocolates in that box. Some I loved, the ones that were filled with nuts or caramels. But some were not quite as much to my liking. Some had those gushy, fruity, soft centers, and I did not like those as a child. Some gave themselves away by their shape, but they were quickly gone, and I was left to pick from difficult choices. They all looked pretty much the same. Some were wondrous, and some, well, made me wonder. I was hesitant to pick one because I might pick the wrong one and be disappointed, and the agenda around my house was, if you took it, you ate it, and you didn't get another one. So I was fearful in picking a chocolate from the box that I might somehow do chocolate wrong. Now that sounds absurd, but then it was very real, almost traumatic. When something is precious and of limited supply, one is hesitant to take risks with the opportunity. Such was not the case for Forrest Gump. He was not hesitant about picking a chocolate. When he presented a similar box to his girlfriend Jenny, he admitted, "I ate a few of them." We don't know if he ate the ones that were clearly identifiable as having nuts inside or if he took his chances, but he did not hesitate to help himself. He knew he wasn't always going to get what he hoped for, but he also knew if he didn't take one, he wouldn't get one. That's how it is with life. We don't always know what we're going to get. But if we don't step out there and take a chance, we just miss out. I've often heard people wonder, when we hear the story of Jesus and his followers, what was it about Jesus that made the fishermen leave their father and their family and their livelihoods and follow after him? Well, that's an interesting question, and it's a good one for us to contemplate. But there's a similar question that I have never heard that I think is equally important. And that is, I wonder how many others Jesus called before he found the fishermen who were willing to leave everything to follow him. The fishermen clearly saw something in Jesus, but they also seemed to be ready to step out and to try something, to invest their lives in the world around them and trying to make something better than it was. They believed that there was something in life that was worth taking a risk, something like a box of chocolates. You may not get your favorite chocolate, but there's something in there that's worth taking the risk of eating a piece of chocolate. You may not see much risk in a box of chocolates. Perhaps you even like those gushy, fruity cream centers. I'm told that some people do. That's why they still put them in the box. But many people still approach life as if the possibilities are limited, and that if they make a mistake and do it wrong, they're going to have to live with something less than what they're looking for. They feel the real tragedy is that too often they, and even we, hold back, don't take the risk, and we miss out on much of what life has to offer. I'm going to throw this, this isn't in the text, I'm going to throw it in for free. When I was a teenager, I lived in a rather isolated place. And the youth group at the church had a kidnapping. Any of you remember the days of those where they would go out in a car with several kids and a driver, and they would snatch up those kids that didn't come to the youth group and drag them, kicking and screaming, to the youth group meeting to enjoy a party. Well, they came to my house, and they had checked with my mother and father before they did this, and they said, "Come on, you're going to the youth group." I said, "No, I'm not." And they said, "We're having pizza." I'm a teenager, and this was in the 60s, and I said, "I don't think I like pizza." "So you don't like pizza? Everybody likes pizza." "I don't know. Never had it. It does not sound like something that I would like." Now, I can only imagine how less rich my life would be if they hadn't, on that night, introduced me to pizza. Sometimes we miss a lot when we don't step out and take a chance. I was raised in a religious system, some of you have heard this story before, that taught that we are all accountable for all of our mistakes. Every miscue and misadventure, these were called sins, and I was later to learn in seminary that the technical term for this particular kind of sin is sins of commission, doing something that was inappropriate or wrong. It's like picking one of those gushy cream-filled chocolates. You picked the wrong one, and now you must pay the price. What I wasn't taught in that system as a child was that there's another kind of sin, and that is a sin of omission. That is, things that were before you that you should have done, that you left undone. Opportunities that you missed. Things that also cannot be recaptured. From my perspective today, I cannot help but think that God is more disappointed when we fail to take the adventures of life, to step out and explore the gift of life God has given us, living life to the fullest, risking the possibility of making a mistake and finding out that things don't work out the way that we had hoped. But recognizing that if and when we make a mistake, we can learn from it, perhaps try not to repeat it, although I will admit that there are some mistakes that I have made over and over again, and I usually end up being sorry, but I usually still make the same mistake again. But whether we learn or not, we move on. When we are afraid to embrace life, on the other hand, we simply miss out. Forrest Gump's mama also said, miracles happen every day, you just have to be able to see them. A few years back, one of the more famous United Methodists, for our visitors, full confession to be made, I am the infidel in your midst. I am actually a United Methodist in Presbyterian clothing this morning. But Oral Roberts wrote a book saying expect a miracle. He wrote that miracles are everywhere. Well, he may have kind of stretched the term miracle a bit, but I would embrace with him the idea that the wonders of God are everywhere. They're all around us, and sometimes not quite miracles, but sometimes in the everyday or even the mundane, the beauty of God's creation becomes visible to those who have eyes to see. In a previous church, a woman from the congregation and I were commiserating about our post-traumatic responses to nosebleeds. We both admitted that when we felt the slightest bit of moisture at our nose, we began to wipe frantically in fear that we were starting to bleed. I said to her, I've come to acknowledge that a day without a nosebleed or something packed up my nose is a good day by definition. She responded, yeah, sometimes just pretty normal is pretty good. There's a TV commercial that's running these days about people with certain types of cancer, and they enter into this treatment and they celebrate their new normal because some things have changed, but some things are the same. We don't have to see a dramatic miracle to experience the presence of God. Sometimes God is clearly visible in the everyday for those who have eyes to see. Oral Roberts and Mama Gump may have been right that we should be looking for miracles, but it might be even more important to be looking for God in the fairly normal of everyday. The everyday events that sometimes we overlook. It doesn't have to be a miracle to be pretty good. We're celebrating Veterans Day today, and combat has been described by many as brief moments of fear and panic surrounded by hours and hours of boredom. I was deployed to Vietnam, the Persian Gulf, and spent 6 months sitting off the coast of Bosnia-Herzegovina. And there were days when I longed for the fairly normal blessings of life that we far too often take for granted. There are many wonderful things. When we are tempted to ask ourselves on a not particularly good day, why me? Why is this suffering visited upon me? We ought to stop and think how many good things are happening at that very same moment. Most of us find ourselves surrounded by the wonders of nature, the love of family and friends, and even if something is causing us pain or sorrow, there are a lot of good things. There are miracles that happen in this world, wondrous things, but there are also everyday blessings, fairly normal events that make life beautiful for those who have the eyes to see. Why do people risk their lives and fortunes to follow after Jesus? Why do people risk their lives and fortunes to come to this country? They see something that's marvelous beyond their wildest dreams, and they're willing to risk everything for the possibility to embrace something that has the power to change their lives and make the world better. Forrest Gump went to school even when it was hard for him and when he was bullied. He accepted a football scholarship even though he knew nothing about football. He enlisted in the Army and later bought a shrimp boat when he knew nothing about either. All of these things did not turn out the way he dreamed. He lost his girlfriend over and over. His best good old friend died in his arms, but he never shied away from the call of life to step forward and try something. His mother's words, "Don't let anyone tell you that they're better than you," enabled him to embrace the journey of life, a journey that was fraught with risks, but also filled with rich rewards. The gifts of life are indeed precious, but the supply is not limited. Each day is filled with new possibilities and new opportunities. God sets before us a new box of chocolates with a vast array of choices. Some turn out better than others, but you just gotta pick one. Seek out some beauty. Share it with others. Help someone along the way. Do some random act of kindness. Make the world a better place in some small way, or sometimes in some way that is truly significant. Seize an opportunity. Don't hold back. Be willing to take some risks. Live, love, laugh, and be happy. The opportunities are not all the same. Some people are afforded a better array of possibilities than others, but we all have choices to make. Some choices turn out better than we had ever dreamed, and sometimes we get one of those gushy, creamy, fruity centers. But even when our choice is less than our fullest dreams, they are a gift from God, the God who created us for life, and the God who loves us, and the God who calls us to be part of God's great creation. In our gospel lesson this morning, we read about a poor widow who dropped her last two coins into the offering box. At last week's session meeting, I asked the session, what made this gift important? The two little coins weren't going to change the world. They weren't going to even change the life of anyone in that synagogue except the poor widow. What was significant about the widow's offering is that she chose to be part of what God was doing in God's world. She chose to follow after Jesus. She left everything she had to live on so that she could be part of God's plan, stepping out, grabbing a piece of chocolate, and enjoying it to the fullest. Some days the opportunities are so glorious as to stagger our imagination with their possibilities. Other days are more difficult, bringing the possibility of pain and loss. But each day is a gift. And even if fairly normal, the gift is there for those who have eyes to see. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. But the box of chocolates is a gift from God for those who have eyes to see the possibilities, take their gifts, and use them to follow their God.